He found the fuel filler door and sat down in the snow and then swiveled around and lay on his back and wriggled into position with his head under the side of the bus. He switched the flashlight on, found the fat tube running from the filler mouth to the tank. It looked intact. The tank itself was a huge, squared-off cylinder. It was a little dented and scraped from the impact, but nothing was leaking out of it. The fuel line running back toward the engine compartment looked okay. Snow soaked through Reacher's jacket and his shirt, and freezing damp hit his skin. He shivered. He used the butt end of the maglite and banged twice on a frame spar. He heard relays clicking and a fuel pump start up. It wheezed and whined. He checked the tank, checked the line as far as the flashlight beam would let him. He kicked against the snow and pushed himself farther under the bus. No leaks. The starter motor turned over. The engine started. It clattered and rattled and settled to a hammer-heavy beat. No leaks, no fire, no fumes. He fought the cold and gave it another minute and used the time to check other things. The big tires looked okay. Some of the front suspension members were a little banged up. The floor of the luggage hold was dented here and there. Some small tubes and hoses were crushed and torn and split. Some Seattle insurer was about to get a fair-sized bill, that was clear. He scrabbled out and stood up and brushed off. His clothes were soaked. Snow swirled all around him. Fat, heavy flakes. There were already 2 fresh inches on the ground. His footsteps from 4 minutes ago were already dusted white. He followed them back to the ditch and floundered around to the door. Knox was waiting for him. The door opened and he climbed aboard. Blowing snow howled in after him. He shivered. The door closed. The engine stopped. Knox sat down in his seat and hit the starter button. Way at the back of the bus, Reacher heard the starter motor turning, churning, straining, wheezing, over and over again. Nothing happened. Knox asked,
"What did you see down there?"
"Damage," Reacher said. "Lots of things, all banged up."
"Crushed tubes?"
"Some." Knox nodded.
"The fuel line is pinched off. We just used up what was left in the pipe, and now no more is getting through. Plus, the brakes could be shot. Maybe it's just as well the engine won't run."
"Call the Bolton PD again," Reacher said. "This is serious." Knox dialed, and Reacher headed back toward the passengers. He hauled coats off the overhead racks and told the old folks to put them on, plus hats and gloves and scarves and mufflers and anything else they had. He had nothing, just what he stood up in. And what he stood up in was soaked and freezing. His body heat was leaching away. He was shivering, just a little, but continuously. Small, crawling thrills all over his skin. Be careful what you wish for. A life without baggage had many advantages, but crucial disadvantages, too. He headed back to Knox's seat. The door was leaking air. The bus was colder at the front than the back. He said, "Well?" Knox said,
"They're sending a car as soon as possible."
"A car won't do it."
"I told them that. I described the problem. They said they'll work something out."
"You seen storms like this before?"
"This is not a storm. The storm is 60 miles away. This is the edge."
Reacher shivered. "Is it coming our way?"
"No question."
"How fast?"
"Don't ask."
Reacher left him there and walked down the aisle, all the way past the last of the seats. He sat on the floor outside the toilet, with his back pressed hard against the rear bulkhead, hoping to feel some residual heat coming in from the cooling engine. He waited. 5 minutes to 5 in the afternoon. 59 hours to go. Chapter 3. 45 minutes later, the lawyer got home. A long, slow trip. His driveway was unplowed, and he worried for a moment that his garage door would be frozen shut. But he hit the remote, and the half-horsepower motor on the ceiling inside did its job, and the door rose up in its track, and he drove in. Then,
The door wouldn't shut after him, because the clumps of snow his tires had pushed in triggered the door's child safety feature. So he fussed with his overshoes once more, and took his shovel and pushed the snow back out again. The door closed. The lawyer took off his overshoes again and stood for a moment at the mudroom door, composing himself, cleansing himself, taking a mental shower. 6:20. He walked through to the warmth of his kitchen and he greeted his family, as if it was just another day. By 6:20, the inside of the bus was dark and icy, and Reacher was hugging himself hard and shivering violently. Ahead of him, the 20 old people and Knox the driver were all doing pretty much the same thing. The windows on the windward side of the bus were all black with stuck snow. The windows on the leeward side showed a gray panorama. A blizzard, blowing in from the north and the east, driven hard and relentlessly by the winter wind, hitting the aerodynamic interruption of the dead vehicle, boiling over it and under it and around it and swirling into the vacuum behind it, huge, weightless flakes dancing randomly up and down and left and right. Then, faint lights in the gray panorama. White lights, and red, and blue, pale, luminous spheres snapping and popping and moving through the gloom. The faint patter of snow chains in the eerie padded silence. A cop car, coming toward them on the wrong side of the divided highway, nosing slow and cautious through the weather. A long minute later, a cop was inside the bus. He had come through the ditch and in through the door, but he had just gotten out of a heated car, and he was wearing winter boots and waterproof pants and gloves and a parka and a plastic rain shield over a fur hat with ear flaps, so he was in pretty good shape. He was tall and lean and had lined blue eyes and a face that had seen plenty of summer sun and winter wind. He said his name was Andrew Peterson and that he was second in command over at the Bolton PD. He took off his gloves and moved through the aisle, shaking hands and introducing himself by name and rank over and over again to each individual and each couple, in a manner designed to appear guileless and frank and enthusiastic, like a good old country boy just plain delighted to help out in an emergency. But Reacher was watching those lined blue eyes and thinking that his front was false. Reacher was thinking that Peterson was actually a fairly shrewd man with more things on his mind than a simple road rescue. That impression was reinforced when Peterson started asking questions. Who were they all? Where were they from? Where had they started today? Where were they headed tonight? Did they have hotel reservations up ahead?